This season of the year, we observe in the yeshiva, we should be observing the yahrzeit of three different rabbanim who were very influential in molding the yeshiva to be what it is now. Rav Soloveitchik passed away on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Dr. Belkin also passed away the same day, a different year, Chol HaMoed Pesach. Dr. Belkin was the one who expanded the whole, Rav Soloveitchik, everybody knows. Dr. Belkin was the one who expanded the yeshiva. First, there used to be a little yeshiva college, and then he made it into this gigantic yeshiva university. Everything grew a lot under Dr. Belkin. And then Rav Moshe Bezdin was the original rabbi who was a musmach of the yeshiva. Rav Moshe Bezdin was the one who ran the JSS, the special program for the students that had a weak background, and he set it up to be something really special. So I'd like to dedicate tonight's shiur in memory of all of these people. Some people have to take medications on Pesach, so the rule is that if you have chometz, which is nifsal me'achilas hakelev, it's permissible, it's not considered chometz, not considered meichel, and you're permitted to eat it if need be. If a person sits and if a person has a spoiled roll that's rotten and he sits and he eats it, so we assume that that's forbidden with the Rabbanon because of Achshavei. That's how the Rosh writes. But if a person takes medication, we assume that that's not considered Achshavei. Now, there are some major person who are of the opinion that Nifson Achilas Odom and Nifson Achilas Kelev only applies, this leniency only applies if the food was Hisriach Me'elov, if it got rotten by itself. But if I mixed in chemicals and I made it Nifson Achilas, that doesn't count. But that's not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion by the overwhelming majority of the poskim is that even if I was poking mit biyadayim, it's also considered the nifsal me'achila. So as far as kidney is concerned, some medications are roi l'achila. Some are chewable, so they're roi l'achila. So then you're going to have a problem. But the medications that are not edible, capsules and pills that don't taste good at all, that's considered nifsal me'achila sakelev, and there's no problem. Ashkenazim have a minig not to eat kidneys. Every so often you have a medication that has kidneys. So strictly speaking, the Ramah says that kidneys is bottled for rov, you don't need shishim. Lechatchila, to go buy the soda that has the corn syrup in it, we don't do that, even though the bottled for rov, because you can get kosher lepesach soda that has sugar in it instead of the corn syrup. But if you have some medication, then the only form that you have is with the kidney. So strictly speaking, you're permitted to take it. The kidney says bottle bereit. If a person has a condition, I just got off the phone with somebody 8:45. Someone called me from Florida. He has some kind of a condition that if he has heartburn, if he doesn't take some kind of medication, so he can't sleep all night long. So that's considered a chod l'shemis hakan. A person has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. If need be, he can eat the kidneys. The end. He doesn't even have to see to it that it should be bottle beroy. Kal v'chaimer, if the medication only has less than 50, then bottle beroy means it's less than 50%, which certainly will be the case. Kidneys are always going to be less than 50% of the medication. So strictly speaking, that doesn't really pose a problem. On the Pesach night, Manishtana halayla zemikol halaylas, everything is different on Pesach night. All year long on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's based on the Gemara and Brochas on Daf Chav Zayin and Beis, that one can be mekabel Shabbos early, one can be mekabel Yom Tov early, and recite Kiddush and start eating the meal when the sun is still shining. And on Pesach night, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Trumas Hadeshen that you have to wait to recite the Kiddush till after Tzeis HaKochavim. Not all the Rishonim agree to that, there are those who disagree. So in old age homes, of people who mamish, they're going to get sick if they're going to start eating after Tzeis HaKochavim. They have to go to sleep at 9 o'clock. If they don't go to sleep at 9 o'clock, they're going to have to take them to the hospital. There are such people. So sometimes we should abridge the Haggadah for them. Look in the Rambam, you see, the Rambam has a Haggadah that's one-third the size of our Haggadah. So you can leave out all the Amartim Zerach Pesach, that for sure you can leave out. Chat Gadya for sure, Echad Me'adeh, for sure you can leave out. But you can leave out a lot of things before the Matzah and the Mar also. You have to bridge the Haggadah. And if it's really a big Shas Hadchak, you have to ask the local Orthodox rabbi, there's room to be mekel to say the Kiddush Mevod Yom also, if even abridging the Haggadah won't do the trick. Lechatchila, the proper thing is, and Morgan Avron quotes the Bach, Lechatchila, one should drink Kolakos each of the four times. one shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukula just to drink Revakais, but if it's uncomfortable, if a person doesn't enjoy drinking so much wine, then we rely on the Ruba Kukula, that a Revakais is enough. Lechatchila, the Gemara says the wine should be red, based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Alteri Yayin Ki Yisadam, that red wine is considered more appealing than white wine. Unless a person lives in a country where there's an Alila Saddam, so far in America we're safe. No Alila Saddam here yet. The meaning Lechatchila is that we have someone else pour the wine. Instead of having each person pour his own wine, you have someone pour the wine for everybody to show that that we're such gvirim, we're such millionaires, we have a waiter waiting on us. This year, because the first night of Pesach is Matzoi Shach, so we have to remember to recite Havdalah together with the Kiddush. And if one forgets to recite the Havdalah, is going to be in big trouble, because what are you going to do later on? You have to say Havdalah before you start eating the meal. So the Shulchan Aruch says if a person is already halfway through the Haggadah and he realizes that he forgot to say Havdalah, then he has to recite Havdalah before he starts the meal. So where exactly does it say Havdalah? So the second cup of wine, you say the Baruch Hashem Yolonu, Baal Yisrael. That would really be a violation of Enos Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas to join Havdalah together with the Gaal Yisrael. You're not supposed to do that. The Kiddush and Havdalah are both connected. So the Gemara says that makes sense to combine Kiddush and Havdalah and Baruch Yari Yoesh all together. But to combine Havdalah with the second cup will really be a violation of Chavilas Chavilas. So what's the alternative? So you fill a third cup of wine and then say Havdalah. That'll be a violation of Emosifin ala Kaisas. So you're going to have to violate something or another. The best thing is not to violate. The best thing is to say the Havdalah together with the Kiddush, with the Bar Mihoish and the cup, and the one first cup of wine. But if a person forgot, and then he has these two alternatives, so then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Balatanya that it's better to violate the Chavilas Chavilas, to recite the Havdalah together with the Gual Yisrael, rather than to be Mosif ala Kaisas, to recite Havdalah over a separate cup of wine. We are careful to drink the wine behaseba, leaning on the left side. Medina de Gemara, the women are just as obligated in haseba as the men, but this manazeh, for some strange reason or another, not so strange, yeshivas, they have a wonderful explanation. The women follow the opinion of the Rabbi Yoh. The Rabbi Yoh says that this manazeh, nobody needs any haseba, because it's so uncomfortable, it doesn't demonstrate that you're a ben charen at all. So the men do not follow the Rabbi Yoh. And the women do. The Rav Yoh was not a woman, so this needs a little explanation. Why do the women follow the Rav Yoh? So that's problematic. That's questionable. So the women do not, the practices, the women don't do Haseba, the men do Haseba. What exactly is Haseba? So some people make a mistake. They just lean in the air. They're leaning to the left as they're drinking a cup of wine. Leaning in the air is not the fulfillment of the step. You have to be leaning on something. You have to have at least the back of the chair. You turn the chair sideways and you lean on the back of the chair or something, or you lean on the table or something. You have to lean on something, not just to lean in the air. There are more quotes, the Rambam, that lechatchila one should be meisiv kol asuda, when you eat the whole meal. In recent years, the practice became that most people don't do that. They quoted the Chazon Ish, and the Stipler did not do that. They said they never saw by their Rabbeim that they lived up to that Rambam that's quoted by the Rambam. So they only had Haseba when they drank the Arba Kaisis. Igmar really has two opinions, whether you need Haseba for the first two cups of wine or the last two cups of wine. So because we're in the Mesupik, which is the more correct opinion, so Igmar comes to the conclusion you should have Haseba for all the four cups of wine. And then you have to have Haseba for the Matzah and for the Korban. For the Morah, you don't have Haseba because the Morah is Zechel by Morah as Chayim, and Haseba is Zechel Acheris, and the two don't blend in together. Doesn't make sense to blend the two in together. Karpas, different minhagim, whether you need a seva or not, why not? Not such a big deal. There are four brachas alakos that we recite on Pesach night. The Gemara points out we recite Kiddush alakos, we recite the bracha Shev Yolonu alakos, we recite Birchas Hamazon alakos, and then the Mishnah calls it Birchas Hashir al Hakos. The Gemara says in Brachas that whenever you have a Bracha al Hakos, you should really rinse out the cup in advance, Shtifa v'Hadocha. You should rinse out the cup on the inside and the outside. So strictly speaking, Taisus says that rinsing out the cup only applies if the cup is dirty. If you kept the cup in a last week when I said Havdalah, Matzoi Shabbos, I washed out the cup and I put it away in the cupboard. So if I take it out this week for Kiddush, the Tosfos says, strictly speaking, the cup is clean, and no crumbs and no dust, so I don't have to rinse it out. Many have the practice that they'll pick up bola, pick up achaim quotes this, chasidim amakbin about this, anything on pick up bola, and chasidim amakbin about. So they'll rinse out the cup for Kiddush and Abdullah, even though it's clean. On Pesach night, you have the Arba Kaisa, so they'll rinse out the cup for second and the third and the fourth cup, even though it's my, I'm the one, it's my germs. What am I nervous about over here? I'm the one who drank the first cup. So the many have the practice, you drink kolakos, and then you rinse out the cup, you clean it out on the inside, the outside, for the second cup, for the third cup, and for the fourth time. Each time you rinse it out. The bracha that's to be recited, the bracha lakos, so really, you say Hashem Yalana, you say the bracha Goal Yisrael, then you say Borpi HaGofen, and you drink it. It's not right to be mocked to meet the bracha Goal Yisrael in the drinking of the cup of wine. In most, in many, can't say most, in many of the Haggadahs, Chassidish HaGadahs, they'll have printed Hinin Mucham Zuma Lekai Mitzvahs Koisheni, they'll have this printed after Goal Yisrael, before Borpi HaGofen. That's not really right. That's a hefsek. Chassidim like to say Hinin Mucham Zuma. The Nodi Yehudim is very opposed to Hinin Mucham Zuma. There's a whole tshuva why not supposed to say. Okay, so the Hasidim don't follow that Nodi Yehud. So they want to say Hinin Mucham Zuma. So they should really say before they say the Bracha Goal Yisrael, not after. Shouldn't say after Goal Yisrael before Borpi HaGofen. You're in the middle of the Bracha Lakos. The same thing Brichas Hamazon. When you finish reciting Brichas Hamazon, you should say right away at the conclusion of Brichas Hamazon. You say right, you say Borpi HaGofen. And drink the cup of wine, the third cup. You shouldn't say Hinin Mucham Zuma after the benching before the Borpi HaGofen. And the same thing, the Birchas Hashir at the very end. Likewise, the Gemara has a din of brachas that you have to pick up the kos l'chatchila tefach mi'al ha'shulchan. B'di'evit, if you didn't pick it up, a person is nervous and he has the cup sitting on the table. There's also yoytze b'di'evit, but l'chatchila, more correct, the Gemara says, is to pick the cup up tefach while the one is reciting the bracha l'kos. Everybody does it when you say Kiddush and Abdallah. Many people do not pick up the cup when they say the bracha shogi alonu, so that's not really right. It's supposed to pick up the cup, the bracha l'kos is a shogi alonu, the bracha samazan al Pesach na'i. All the Tanoim agree that Brichas Hamazon is supposed to recite over a cup of wine, hold the cup in your hand, from the beginning of the benching to the end, and the Brichas Hashir as well. What exactly is the Brichas Hashir? Mishnah says the fourth cup of wine, one recites the Brichas Hashir. So the Gemara has two suggestions, and the Gemara says they're both nice suggestions, and we follow both. So the one suggestion is that at the conclusion of the Hallel, all year long, the Mishnah says in Megillah, that it depends on the minhag ha'makom whether you say your halalucha or not. Makom shenagel levarech after the halal, the bracha before halal that you say on Pesach night. You don't say a bracha before halal at home. But all year long, when you say halal in the shul, so the bracha before the halal is a real din. Kol ha'mitzvus kulam levarech alei moi velasi yasam. But the bracha at the conclusion of the halal, that's not really a din. That's totally in the minhag ha'makom. So on Pesach night, it's not totally in the minigam bochum. The Gemara says you have to say halucha, even if all year long one is not in the practice of reciting halucha. So that's one opinion. That's the Birchas Hashir, the regular bracha halucha that we say at the conclusion of the halal. Then the Gemara has another opinion that the Birchas Hashir is nishmas through yishtabach. That's one long bracha. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that we recite both. Exactly how do you recite both? So there were Rishonim who had the practice, you look in the Rashbam, other Rishonim that had the practice, they literally said two brachas over the fourth cup of wine. They finished the halal, then they said, Yehalelucha melech mehulal batish b'chois. Then they said the 26 kiliyorim chazdos, and they said nishmas kol chai, and then they finished yishtabach, and they said the bracha at the conclusion of yishtabach. They said two brachas over the fourth cup of wine. That's not the accepted opinion. You have a lot of the Haggadahs that they'll send you in the mail, the Rome Haggadah, this Haggadah, the other exotic Haggadahs that they reprinted. So every so often they'll send you a Haggadah in the mail that has this Nusaf, that has two different brachas on the fourth cup of wine. So that's clearly not our practice. What exactly is our minhag? So there are two versions. There's Minhag Ashkenaz and Minhag Sfarad. So Minhag Ashkenaz, you go straight. The Minhag Sfarad, you go backwards and forth. Minhag Ashkenaz, you go straight. You say Hallel, and then at the conclusion of Hallel, you say Yehalelucha, up until the last line, and you don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mehulal Batish Bachos. You leave out the concluding line. Then you say the 26 Kiliyorim Chazdos, then say Nishmas Kol Chai, and you conclude Yishtabach with the bracha of Yishtabach, you go in order. At the conclusion of the hal, you say Havlucha, but you leave out the chasim of the last line, and then you say Nishmas, and you conclude the bracha at the end of the Yishtabach. And in Sfardas, you go backwards and forwards. You say Hallel till Hodel Hashem Ki Tov Kili Olam Chazah, you say twice. You don't say Havlucha, then you say the 26 Kili Olam Chazah, then you say Nishmas Kol Chai to the end of Yishtabach, all the way up until the last line. You leave out the last line. You don't say the Chasim of Yishtabach, and then at the very end you say Yalalucha. That's Minig Sfar. So the Achreinim write on Shulchan Aruch that you have to make up your mind. If you have a Seder with 10 or 20 people, you have to make up the mind which Nusach are you going to say. So if you're Sfardim, so you say Nusach Sfard. If you're Chasidim, so you say Nusach Sfard. If you're not Chasidim and you're not Sfardim, so by process of elimination, then you're Ashkenazim. So you should say Nusach Ashkenaz. The trouble is that half of the Haggadahs are Nusach Sfard, because a lot of the Haggadahs were printed by Chassidish Rebbes, Chassidish Pirushim. It's not a trouble, it's a wonderful thing. But if you're not a Chassid and you're not a Sfardi, so you shouldn't be davening Nusach Sfard. So you have to make up in advance what exactly is the Nusach that you're going to say for the Bracha Achreina, for the fourth Bracha, the Birchas Hashir, and everyone should recite the same bracha. So one should really hold a cup of wine when he says the whole Birchas Hamazon, and not be mafsik after the conclusion of the Birchas Hamazon until you say the Barakah Gofen and you drink the wine. The same thing the fourth kos. You say the second half of Hallel after the Birchas Hamazon, and then you say the Birchas Hashir. You say Yavlucha with the Nishmas, with the Yishtabach, with the Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard. As soon as you complete the bracha of the Birchas Hashir, the person should hold a cup of wine the whole time. He should say the Barakah Gofen and drink that cup of wine. The Magen Avraham quotes some had a practice, but it's not really the recommended practice. But because one is not permitted, the Mishnah says you're not permitted to eat after the Afikoyim, and many Rishonim say not only not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink either. The only thing we permit you to drink is water. So the person may get thirsty later on in the night, all they can drink is water. So what's again tragedy? So drink water. Supposed to be very healthy to drink water. So if he's concerned about this, he's only going to be able to drink water. So many have the practice that you say a lot of the piyutim. If you finish Birchas Hashir, you say a lot of the piyutim before you drink the fourth cup of wine. Why should you do that? More correct is that you say the Bar Piyah Gofen right after the Birchas Hashir. And after the Bar Piyah Gofen, then you say Nirtza. At the end of the Hallel, you say Nirtza. And then you say all of the piyutim later. There is another minhag. This is not a din already, there is another minhag. The Gemara talks in Brachas Daf Lamehem and Aleph about Einamim Shira Ela Al Hayayim. So the literal translation of the din in the Gemara is referring to the Levim singing the Shira on the Beis HaMikdash while the Kohanim are pouring the wine down the pipes of the Mizbeach at the time of Nisach Hayayim. The Beis Yosef quotes a Chuvus HaRashbo in Yerudei and Hilchas Milah about reciting Shira ala yayin, whenever you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu holding a cup of wine. So that's why many have the practice that on Pesach night when we're saying the Hallel, we refer to the bracha at the end of the Hallel as the Birchas Hashir, so obviously the Hallel is recited as Shir. Hashir Azeh Yelahem Kelel is Kadosh Chag, it's referring to the reciting Hallel on Pesach night. So when we recite the Hallel Pesach night, when you say Hallel in Shul in the morning, that's not really Shir. We're not saying Hallel over something that happened now. We're saying Hallel over the Simchas Yontif, or reminiscing about some nest that occurred centuries ago. But when you recite the Hallel on Pesach night, we treat that as if that's a Hallel B'Shas HaNes. So that's in a certain sense a form of Shira. So one should hold a cup of wine while he's saying the Hallel on Pesach night, unlike you don't hold a cup of wine when you say Hallel on Rishchodesh and when you say Hallel on Chanukah, that's not a Shir. But on Pesach night, the Hallel is considered like a Hallel of Shasana, so then you have the practice that you hold a cup of wine the whole time. So that's quite a bit of holding the cup of wine. First two paragraphs of the Hallel, and then the Birchas Asher Gialanu. And then after the Birchas HaMazon, the whole Hallel with the Birchas HaShir after that. If that's too much, so then at least you should hold a cup of wine when one recites the brachas, the bracha of Asher Gialanu, the Birchas HaShir. But yeah, but if the person didn't hold a cup of wine, so it's the same as Kiddush and Avdolah. But yeah, but the person said Kiddush and Avdolah, the cup of wine was sitting on the table, so the magbia to pick it up at Tefach is not miyakev b'diyevet. In Shulchan Aruch, they refer you to the two opinions in Tosfos and Perek Aviv Pesachim regarding the nature of the bracha Borei Pri Hadama over the karpas. One opinion in Tosfos is that the reason why karpas was instituted is in order that we should say Borei Pri Hadama and have in mind that this bracha will cover the maror later on. The maror is not covered with the hamoitzi because it's not considered dvarim habayim machmas hasuda. That's one opinion in Tosfos. How can you say that the Borei Pri Hadama over the karpas covers the maror? The Gemara says it's such a long time, it's a hesach hadas. So the Rishonim say no, it's a hesach hadas from shmiras hayadayim. You have to wash until the hayadayim a second time, even though you washed your hands before the karpas, you have to wash your hands again before moitzi matzah. So it's only a hesach hadas from the shmiras hayadayim. That's why we require a second until the hayadayim. It's not a hesach hadas from the achila. We know in advance that there's going to be maror later. And the Borei Pri Hadama over the karpas is decided in order to cover the maror. The other opinion in Tosfos is not so. No, it's a hesach hadas from the achila. How can you say that the Borei Pri Hadama over the karpas covers the maror? No, the reason why the maror doesn't have its own Borei Pri Hadama is because it's considered dvarim habayim machmas hasuda. Either because you're eating romaine lettuce, and a lot of people eat the lettuce vegetable salad in the middle of a meal. Now it's a very common practice. Either because of Mitzvahs, it's Dvarim HaBayim Achmas HaSura. The other version of Tosfos is not, it's Al Pi Din. That tonight on the menu, the halacha says you have to eat matzah first, then you have to eat maror second. There's a lechatchila deraisa, that's how the Rashbam points out, there's a lechatchila deraisa to do the mitzvahs in that order. If a person reverses the order, first he's going to have the maror, then he's going to have the matzah. But the other one is Yotzeh, but lechatchila more correct is based on the pasuk of Chumash, on matzah, some maror miyachlu. First the matzah, then the maror. So since that's the way it says on the menu, first the matzah, then the maror, so the maror al pidin is considered dvarim habayim machmas hasuda, and it doesn't require its own borei pri hadama. Adarabe, if you'll eat a kazayis of karpas, and the other opinion, this opinion in Tosfos holds that there is a hesach hadas between the eating of the karpas and the eating of the maror, so if you eat a kazayis of karpas, you'll have to say borei nefashis afterwards, because it won't be covered. If a person eats vegetables before he starts the meal, and he says Borei Pri Hadama intending that this should cover the vegetables in the middle of the meal, so then when he says the Birchas HaMazon at the end, that covers, not only does that serve as the bracha achronit for the vegetables eaten in the middle of the meal, covers as serves as a bracha achronit for the vegetables we ate before the meal as well. But if there was a long hesach hadas in between the vegetables eaten before and the vegetables eaten in the middle of the meal, then he has to say Borei Nefashis. If you say Birchas HaMazon after vegetables, you're not Yotze B'Diyevet. You have to say Borei Nefashis. So you have this machlokes, whether the bracha Borei Pri Hadama that one recites over the karpas is supposed to cover the maror or not. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes the practice of the Maharam Rutenberg to satisfy the both opinions. So he says everybody should have in mind when they say Borei Pri Hadama that this should cover the maror, and everyone should have in mind to eat less than a kazayis of the karpas, to make sure that you're not supposed to say Borei Nefashis after finishing the karpas. The Rambam writes his opinion. The Rambam, as we have in the text in the Rambam, Rambam says when you eat the karpas, you're supposed to eat a kazayis of karpas. Why? Apparently he thinks kach tikno chachamim, that the chachamim were misaken that he's supposed to eat karpas for whatever reason, for some mysterious reason you have to eat karpas. So you should eat the kazayis of karpas. So the Magid, so the Hagos Maimoni on the bottom of the page says that we don't understand why the Rambam says you need the kazayis of karpas. And the Rambam doesn't mention when you eat the maror, he forgot to mention that you need the kazayis of maror. So he suggests that maybe it's a misprint in the Rambam. Maybe this line that you eat the kazayis belongs 10 lines later. So that's why this Rambam is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that you should recommend l'chatchila everybody should have the kazayis of karpas. So that's why. That's the recommendation in the Shulchan Aruch, is that a person should say Borei Pri Hadama over the karpas, have in mind to cover the maror, and the person should try to be careful not to eat a kazayis of karpas, so he won't be involved in a suffix bracha achronit. He won't have a suffix, but he has to say Borei Nefashis after eating the karpas. The Gemara says in Pesachim that the matzah shel ma'isa sheni is not acceptable if one follows the opinion of Reb Meir. That's how we pass Reb Meir, Reb Yudah, Allahak, Reb Yudah. Usually, whenever there's a machlokes of Meir, Reb Yudah, we pass like Reb Yudah. Usually, Reb Meir disagrees with another Tana, his opinion is not acceptable. This is an exception to the rule. The Gemara says in Kiddush, at the end of the second parak, that we have Stami Mishnayis, like Reb Meir on this issue, that ma'isa sheni is mamon gavoah. So the Gemara says, oh, if ma'isa sheni is mamon gavoah, then you're not yaitzei with matzah shal ma'isa sheni b'Yerushalayim because it's not shalachem. Because it didn't require shalachem. So that's the question. If I invite guests to my home and I give everybody matzah, where's the shalachem? They're eating my matzah, they're not eating their own matzah. So the Rambam seems to understand on this din that the Gemara never really meant to say that you really need shalachem. It's not the same as lulav. Lulav and asking you need shalachem. So if you borrow lulav from someone else, so you have to ask them matan manas l'achzer. Matzah just means if it's shal hegdish. You need shalachem to the exclusion of hegdish. If the matzah is hegdish or the matzah is ma'isa sheni is mamon gavoya, so that's possible. But not that you really need shalachem. And the Rosh seems to understand the Gemara literally. The Rosh says if you take a matzah gzula, you're not yotze. The Rambam says if you steal a matzah from someone else, you're not yotze because mitzvah ba'aver. The Rosh says, but you need mitzvah ba'aver. It's not shalachem. You need shalachem. So the Rosh understands the Gemara kipshuta that you really need shalachem, not just that shal hegdish is possible. You really need shalachem. So that's the question when you invite guests to your home. So where is the shalachem? So the Taz raises the issue. So the Taz says it's self-understood. When you invite guests to your home and you put food on the table, it's self-understood that you makna all of the food to the guests and that it is shalachem. So the later Paz can point out that when you study Ibn Ezra, Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezra, they discuss such a case there. I have a single boy and a single girl sitting at the table and they're eating by me. And the boy takes some of the food and he gives it to the girl and he says, Hariyam Kodeshisli Beshovekesivzeh. So does the food belong to the boy? When I serve a meal to a guest, is it self-understood that I'm giving it to him? Oh no, I give him permission to eat my food, not that I'm makhnim to him. If I gave him permission to eat my food, so it's not his to be Mekadosh and Isha with. So nevertheless, there's a machlokes about that. What is the yomdinah? So that's where they point out that this taz is not so muskam. Not everybody agrees to this assumption that when you invite guests to eat in your home, that you're makna the food to the guests. So that's why some have the practice that whoever paid for the matzahs makes an announcement in advance that when it comes time to eat the matzah, everyone should have in mind to be koina the matzah that they pick up. Sure? So if you pick up the matzah, you have in mind to be koina, so shalachem. Usually there's a din, you're not allowed to do mekech hamemkar on Shabbos and Yontif, but that's what we do on Sukkot. If you need shalachem for the lulav and the esrog, so the Rishonim say you're allowed to give. The Gemara says you give them matana manas l'achzer, so it's not a problem. So we do the same on Pesach, make an announcement that whoever takes the matzah should have a mind to be koina, and it's his, so there's no problem of shalachem. Tosis has two opinions regarding how much matzah you have to eat in the beginning of the meal when you have the moitzi matzah. Is it necessary to have two kezaisim, one kezais for sudas yantif and one kezais for mitzvahs matzah, or are these the same one and the same mitzvah? The mitzvah of sudas yantif and leil haseder requires that we should have a kezais of matzah. So that's the shada. They need two kezaisim and one kezais is enough. So the Shulchan Aruch adopts the position that you need two kezaisim. You have one kezais from the shleima, one kezais from the prusa. The kezais from the shleima is either the top shleima, bottom shleima, doesn't make a difference. It's kezais from the shleima is for the mitzvah of sudas yontif. That's why you have two shleimas. And the kezais from the prusa is for the other mitzvah, the other unrelated mitzvah of eating a kezais of matzah. The Mishnah Brura is a little unhappy why the Mechaber quoted this chumra. He thinks that most of the Rishonim think that it's sufficient with one kezais. Okay? So that's the practice. L'chatchila, we try to have two kezaisim of matzah. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch that after the person says Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu Al Achilas Matzah, he shouldn't be mafsik till after he has the korach. Before he has the korach, he has to first have the morah. So you have matzah and morah, and then you have korach. So since korach is eaten because we're not sure which is the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah, maybe the correct way to have the matzah is together with the morah joined together. So that's why the Mechaber writes, one should not be mafsik, one should not talk in between the bracha of al achilas matzah and the eating of the korach. That's quite an nisayon. People are sitting the whole time, they can't talk, they can't say anything, they're reading the Haggadah. So So you should try to encourage all of the people to follow this opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Not everybody agrees with this opinion, but that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that the proper practice is not to be masik in between the bracha al achilas matzah and the eating of the karach. Now, for the karach also, the Shulchan Aruch says you should have, not everybody agrees, but that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should have a kazayis of matzah and a kazayis of morah. So these are a lot of kazayisim. And then at the end of the meal, when you have the afikoyman, so the Maharil is quoted by his Talmidim, the Sefer Maharil, the Chumash Maharil were written by the Maharil, but the Sefer Maharil, the Drashas Maharil, was written by the Talmidim. So they quoted the name of the Maharil that one should have two kizaisim of afikoyman. So the original explanation that's given in the Drashas Maharil is Zechel Korban Pesach, that they always ate two kizaisim of the Korban Pesach. The commentaries on the Shaila and the Shulchan Aruch say they never heard of that. Who said that you need two kizaisim of the Korban Pesach? It says in the Mishnah, Shamash Shochel Kazayis Yotza, eating Kazayis is good enough. Why should you need two Kazayis? And so they think it must be a mistake that every so often the Talmud wrote over incorrectly, inaccurately, what the Maharil said. So they think that the Maharil, they're reconstructing what probably happened was, the Maharil must have said that you should eat two Kazayis of the Afikayim, and Echad Zechel Pesach, Echad Zechel Chagiga. And then the Talmud made a mistake, and he wrote that you'd have two Kazayis, Zechel Karban Pesach, that you had two Kazayis. In later years, after the Taz and the Magen Avraham wrote this, that reconstructing, that's probably what the Maharil said, and the Talmud wrote it incorrectly. Later years, it became more popular to study Rambam. So lo and behold, they found the Rambam says, that l'chatchili you have to have two kizaisim of the Korban Pesach. The Maharil was just saying over what it says in the Rambam. And when the Mishnah says, Hashamish Mishoch HaKazayis Yotze, that's B'diyevet. If you had a Kazayis B'diyevet, you hear it. So the more correct is, the Rambam says, the Korban Pesach is Nechal, Al Hasova, so the Rambam does not understand like the other Rishonim that you eat the Korban Pesach in the end of the meal. The Rambam understands you eat so much Korban Pesach kedei lizboa mimenu ve'achalta v'savata. Again, the Gemara in Brocha says if it would have only said ve'achalta, it would have meant kezayis. Now that it says v'savata, so one taner v'meir is of the opinion that you have to eat two kezayisim. V'savata means more than ve'achalta, so that's what the Rambam understood. You eat the Korban Pesach. Al Hasova means Kedei Lizbo Mimen, Rola Hatchili should eat two kizais. So it's an awful lot of matzah. Not everybody enjoys eating so much matzah. You have to have two kizais in the beginning by Moitzi Matzah, and one kizais for the whole kizais of matzah, and one kizais of morah for the koirach, and then two kizais at the end. So the Mishnah Berurah is unhappy why the Shulchan Aruch even quoted the Chumra in the first place of having the two kizais for the Moitzi Matzah. So the person finds it too difficult, some older people, whatever. Moody people who are not in the mood, they happen not to be in the mood to eat two kazayis, so they tell them they can get away with one kazayis. And then the afikoyman also, if a person is not in the mood to eat two kazayis, you should try to get him in the mood. And if they happen to be in the wrong mood, so they tell them that one kazayis is good enough. But the other, the Mishnah says, Hashamish Meshoch Kazayis Yotso. This year and every year, there's always an issue. This year, perhaps more than other years, there's an issue of finishing the afikoyman before Chatzos. The Gemara in the end of Psochim, next to the last daf, Kuf Chof from the base, and the Sich ends Kuf Chof Aleph from the base. So the Gemara says that what's the din if a person eats matzah bezman hazeh after Chatzos? Is it okay or not? Bezman shabes hamikdash hayakam, the Mishnah says in Ezel Mekoyman that you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos. Ein anechel elo ad Chatzos. So the Gemara says, does that carry over? Bizman is that nobody's eating Korban Pesach, but just eating matzah and afikoyim and zechal Pesach. You have to finish eating the matzah before Chatzos. So the Gemara says it depends whether the din of Chatzos by the Korban Pesach is deraisa derabban. If one should assume, like Rav Loza ben Azariah, that the need to finish the Korban Pesach by Chatzos is a din deraisa, then there's a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach. So the din applies to matzah as well. So bizman is that you have to finish eating the matzah before Chatzos. And Tosis' opinion is that the afikoyman is eaten at the end of the meal. Tosis and Rashi and the Rashbam, all the afikoyman is eaten at the end of the meal. That's the ikar mitzvah matzah. So if that's the ikar mitzvah matzah, then you have to make sure that you eat the afikoyman before Chatzos. But then the Gemara says if one would accept that the din is like Rabbi Akiva, that Menatari can eat the Korban Pesach all night long, and the din that you have the din in the Mishnah, you have to finish eating Korban Pesach by midnight. There's only a chumra for the Rabbanan, Kedela Harchi Kesod, Aminu Aveira. So then the Gemara says in the end of Pesach, that din would not carry over to Matzah. They made the Gzeira de Rabbanan by Korban Pesach. They never made the Gzeira de Rabbanan by Matzah. So that's the shada. That's the shada that Tosis raises. Do we pass them like Rabbi Akiva, or do we pass them like Rabbi Lozim and Azai? We pass them like Rabbi Akiva that Chatzos by Korban Pesach is only with the Rabbanan. That the Gemara says it does not apply to Matzah. If you pass them like Rabbi Lozim and Azariah, that the din of Chatzos by Korban Pesach is a din there. I said that it does carry over to Matzah. How do we pass them? The Tosis is not sure. They have two opinions. Whether the din is like Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Lazar and Azari, they have two Mishnayos that seem to indicate that the Stami Mishnayos that the din is like Rabbi Lazar and Azari. So that's why Tosis is Noita Lahakme should try to finish by Chatzos. In Shulchan Aruch they recommend like that, and then the Ramah goes a step further, a giant step past that. Even though Tosis says in Megillah that one only has to be Machma for Chatzos with respect to the Matzah, Nafikayim is the Ikan Mitzvah's Matzah. But with respect to the Arba cases, we don't have to be machna. So you can say the Hallel, as long as you make it by the skin of your teeth, you finish eating the Afrikaner by Chatzos, that's okay. And you can finish the Hallel and say the Birchas Hashir and drink the fourth cup after Chatzos. That doesn't pose a problem. This Shiloh, whether you pass like Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Lozim and Azai, so Shiloh and Din Deraisa, you eat say Matzah after Chatzos. So with respect to the Din Deraisa, with machna, respect to the Arba cases and the reciting of the Hallel, that's only with the Rabbanan. So Tosis says they were mekel, nishgefelach. They were mekel. The Ran on that daf in Megillah recommends that one should be machma by the abakosis as well. Try to finish all of the abakosis by chatzos, and that's what the Rambam quotes in Shulchan Aruch. One should try to finish all the abakosis by chatzos. They say that the Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was quite a gentleman, and he always liked to move the seder on in a reasonable fashion. Not to dilly-dally, and to try to go through the meal as quickly as possible, but if it were, in order to finish everything by Chatzos, but if it would turn out that the only way to finish by Chatzos would be to cut out one of the courses, and his wife had been cooking for a whole week before Pesach, so he felt that that wasn't derech eretz. Because Mikra Adin would make a lot of this, you can finish, you can eat the Abikoyim after Chatzos, so it's not right to hurt someone's feelings in order to do a chumer. But if you're not going to hurt someone's feelings, if you can tell the people in advance, let's all make up in advance that we're going to go through the Haggadah at a reasonable pace, so we'll get finished by Chatzos. So no one will be insulted, and we'll have the heder of finishing before Chatzos. The Ashkenazim have a minhag that we only duchen on Yontif. All year long we don't duchen. It's a problematic minhag. The Gemara says you're supposed to duchen when the Kohanim are called upon to duchen. They're obligated to duchen once a day, every day. So most the minhag by Ashkenazim is they don't duchen every day in Chutz Lords. So we forget from one Yontif to the other, we forget all the dinim of duchening. So I'll just review a little bit. The Gemara has a din. The pasuk says, Kosa Rochas Manisol Amor Lahem. When I talk to someone else, we're facing each other, ponim keneged ponim. So the Gemara says it's not proper to turn your back around to the Kohanim. People are so concerned, they're afraid to look at the hands of the Kohanim, so they turn around. A lot of the women and a lot of the men, they turn their back, so they turn sideways, and that's not proper. Especially Bizman Hazeh, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes that during his lifetime, he lived in the 1500s in Tzfas and Eretz Yisrael, they started the custom that's still practiced today, that the Kohanim cover over their hands. So there's nothing to see anyway. You can't see anything even if you try, unless you crawl under the talus. So there's nothing to see anyway. So what are you afraid to look at the Kohanim? You can't see anything anyway. In the days of the Gemara says in Saita there was a practice that when the Kohanim would recite the Birchas Kohanim word for word, Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmarecha, the Tzibu would recite Psukim simultaneously with the Kohanim as they would recite each word of the Duchening. And the Gemara says, but the din requires, the Gemara raises the question, but the din requires you have to pay attention to the Kohanim. The Gemara says, that's okay. We have the ability, we're all geniuses, we can pay attention to the Kohanim and recite the Pasuk at the same time. And the Gemara says that we know that that's so because we do it all the time by Moedim the Rabban. The Chazan says Moedim, and everybody hears every word from the Chazan simultaneously with their own reciting of the Moedim the Rabban. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that somehow there's a Yiridus HaDoros and we're no longer geniuses and we can't concentrate on what the Kohanim say at the time that we are going to be reciting Psukim. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Torah that we recommend you should not say the Psukim. you want to be mechaben, look in a siddur, look in a machzen, look at the psukim that are printed at the time that the kohanim are reciting Yimrechecha Hashem Yishmerecha, but you shouldn't say the psukim because it will take away from your attention. You have to pay attention to the kohanim. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that the practice is the kohanim first face the Aron Kodesh, and then when the chazan calls out kohanim, then they turn around and they face the tzibur and they say the bracha. So when they turn around, so the Shulchan Aruch says they should turn around. They should go to the right. Which way is to the right? Clockwise or counterclockwise? Which way is considered to the right? So there are two minhagim. Two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, two minhagim. The Shulchan Aruch says the Kohanim should make up amongst themselves. They should all do the same thing. So most communities, Ruba the Ruba of the Kohanim turn around clockwise, like this. So they're facing the Aron Kodesh. Turn around clockwise as opposed to counterclockwise. Usually in a shul, if you have 20 Kohanim, so they're always one or two, they're turning around the other way. Everybody's turning clockwise, and one or two are turning counterclockwise. So you should make up, all the Kohanim should make up in advance which direction they're going to turn. They should all go the same way. The din is that the Chazan only calls out Kohanim if you have two or more Kohanim. If you only have one Kohen, so the Chazan does not call out Kohanim, and the Chazan does not call out Kohen in a singular either. It just doesn't call out. The chazan, the kohen, just turns around on his own without any tzivui, and he says the bracha, shekudshan b'tshos shalaren, and then he recites the duchenim. The din requires that the duchenim should be recited the kol rom, so it doesn't mean that the kohen has to scream on the top of his lungs. The kohen should scream loud enough that the people in the back of the shul should hear. So if it's a big shul and people all are in the back, the taka should scream on the top of his lungs. But it's a little shul, and everybody's standing in the front. You just have barely a minyan. There's no need to scream the kol rom more than to enable everybody to hear. The din is that on yontif, one is not permitted to do a malacha on the first day yontif for the second day yontif. You're not allowed to cook food the first day for the second day. You're not permitted even to do hachanas that are non-malachas. The Shulchan Aruch says to do a preparation that's a dan malach on the first day for the second day is also not permissible. It's a big problem. A lot of women leave a lot of food in the freezer, and if they'll take the food out of the freezer the night of the second day yontif, the night of the second seder after tzeis hakachavim, it won't be out long enough that it should thaw out, that they should be able to warm it up. You can't just take food from the freezer and put it on top of the fire to warm it up. It has to thaw out for a while. So they'll take it out a couple of hours before the end of the first day yontif. So that's not really right. That's really a hachon on the first day for the second day. So we have to tell all the women that they should really, whatever food they want to serve on the second day yontif, they should really leave in the refrigerator, not leave in the freezer. Because then they're going to have the issue of hachon on the first day for the second day. If the women forgot, and they did put the food for the second day in the freezer, so then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadam the following kula, that rather than wait till as late as possible on the first day to do the hachana for the second day, they should take out this food, if they realize in the morning with enough time, they should really take out the food early enough that theoretically they would have been able to, would be able to thaw out on the first day, and you'd be able to cook the food on the fire and serve it to someone who's interested in eating on the first day. Who's interested in eating? You got to eat the second night at the Seder. So that's called Hoil de Mikle Leachim Chazele Hashtanami Chazele. That's what the Gemara called terms Hoil. That since theoretically, if you would invite a lot of people over, they'd be able to eat this food. So that's not a violation. Ikar Adin Deraisa, that's not a violation of Hachon on the first day for the second day. And it's not a violation of Malacha on the first day for the second day, first day for Chol. It's considered as if the Hachon was done on the first day for the first day. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyot. If the Balabasta realizes that she forgot to do a Hachana on Erev Yontif for the second day Yontif, she's going to have to do the Hachana on the first day for the second day. So let her do it early enough in the first day that theoretically they should be able to benefit from this Hachana that was done on the first day itself. But more correct is to Hachachamein and Beroshah to prepare in advance. Chalamoyed is a big issue. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos HaMevazeh HaMoyedos Ein Lachel Gadol Habo, and Rashi writes in his Pirush on that Mishnah HaMevazeh HaMoyedos refers to Chalamoyed, that you're not allowed to walk around with jeans and polo shirt on Chalamoyed. You have to dress up Yontav Dig. strictly speaking, Big Day Yontov is supposed to be fancier than Big Day Shabbos. Big Day Shabbos is supposed to be fancier than Big Day Chalamoy. Big Day Chalamoy is supposed to be fancier than Big Day Chol. It's supposed to have four different outfits. Yontov, Shabbos, Chalamoy, and Chol. Then it's supposed to be a tip. Big Day Chasana is supposed to be fancier than the Big Day Yontov. Okay. So we don't have so many outfits, but if it's a toss-up between wearing Big Day Chol Mamish and Big Day Shabbos for Yontov, so you wear the Big Day Shabbos for Yontov, Chalamoy, it's supposed to dress up nicely. One is not permitted to do Melochas on Chalamoy. A question whether this is a Din Men HaTorah, Din Men HaRabbanon, Machloikas HaRishonim, the Tosus in the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah, and a Machloikas in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba and the Ramo. The Ramo is Machmir. Ramo is following those opinions that Melochas Chalamoy constitutes an Issa Deraisa. So one should be, even if it's an Issa DeRabbanon, one should be very careful not to violate Melochas Chalamoy. We assume in Shulchan Aruch that the prohibition to do Melochas Chalamoy only applies to Melochas, Melochas Deraisa, Melochas DeRabbanon, doesn't apply to things that are only also mitam gzeira. Take for example Muktzeh, one is not permitted to handle Muktzeh on Shabbos and Yontov, so that's a gzeira shema yotzi. It's a gzeira that the person may forget and carry out into the street. You can't say one who handles Muktzeh is a violation of Haitzor. You're not allowed to ride horseback because of the gzeira shema, he'll break off a branch. What are you going to say? Whoever rides on horseback is a violation of kotzer. He didn't break off the branch. That's a gzeira midirabban. Or you're not permitted to take refuah on Shabbos and Yontov. That's a gzeira shem yishachik samamanim. He may forget and he may violate the iser of tochen. So you're going to say whoever swallows a pill is a violation of tochen. It's not tochen even midirabban. It's not a malach even midirabban. That's only a gzeira. So the poskim assume in Shulchan Aruch that whatever is only a gzeira is mutar and chalamay. They only instituted the malachas, they never, let's say, to play a piano. So there's a machloikas, and poskim is it permissible to play musical instruments on chalamay? And the accepted opinion is that it is mutar. This chalamay pesach is an issue with sphira. That's another story. Whether the avelus of sphira that we don't listen to music, whether it implies even a chalamay or not, so the prima garden talks about that, that's a different story. But leaving out the issue of Chalamoy Pesach with the sphere, what about Chalamoy Tzukis? So the accepted opinion is that to play music is mutar on Chalamoy. Why? Because playing music on Shabbos and Yontov doesn't even constitute a malacha in the Rabban. It's only a gzeir, and a gzeir is whenever instituted. Tosfos writes in the first paragraph in Moed Kot, the first two, the whole Moed Kot, all the three prokim talk about the laws of Chalamoy. The third paragraph emphasizes the laws of Avelos and Chalamoy, but you have some of the laws of Chalamoy. The first two prokem are all Dinim HaMalachas Chalamoy. So Tosfos writes in the first paragraph in Moed Kot, and one is not permitted to ride horseback on Chalamoy, because it's prohibited to ride on an animal on Shabbos and Yontov, so it carries over to Chalamoy. So Rabbi Yosef Karajah says, we don't follow that Tosfos. We hold that riding horseback is only a gzeira, and all the gzeiras are mutar Chalamoy. So that's why Tiltal Muktzeh is mutar Chalamoy. Applying medication is mutar on Chalamoy because it's only a gzeira in the Rabbanon. Riding horseback, Mekka Chamemka would have been mutar on Chalamoy because Mekka Chamemka is only gzeira shema, Yichtov, should have been mutar. But the Rosh quotes, it should have been mutar, but he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, they prohibited Mekka Chamemka because the whole idea of Chalamoy is that you should spend your time learning a little bit. You take off from your business and you spend time learning. If you're going to allow Mekka Chamemka, so the whole day is going to be spent in business, so the whole tachlis of Chalamoy will be lost. So that's the accepted opinion. That's why many have the practice that the Gemara seems to say that you're not permitted to carry on Chalamoy. If you ordered something in the store, you're not allowed to pick it up on Chalamoy. You're not allowed to carry things on Chalamoy. How come everybody carries things on Chalamoy bizman zeh? You carry things on Chalamoy more. You're not allowed to carry on Yom Tov either, only what's tzarach yom tzas. But on Chalamoy, people even carry things that they don't need at all. Why is that? What's the heter? The Gemara seems to say you're not allowed to carry. So it's assumed that the heter is that we don't really have a rishus rabban derais, we only have a karmelis. And the carrying a karmelis isn't even a malacha midirabbanon. Surprisingly, the Gemara seems to say explicitly that the carrying a karmelis is only a gzera midirabbanon. It's not even a malacha midirabbanon. So that's why many have the practice to carry on Chalamoy. It's really questionable. Not everybody agrees that we don't have a Rishus HaRab Deraisa Bizman Hazeh. So that's really an issue. The Mishnah singles out two activities that the rabbis prohibit on Chalamoy, even though it should have been Mutta because it's Tzorach HaMoy. One is to take a haircut on Chalamoy, and one is to wash clothing. Kibbutz Begadim is also on Chalamoy. Why? So the Gemara says, "Kadei shelo yikanes leregel kshuhum menuvol." If we'll permit people to take haircuts on Chol HaMoed, or to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed, so they may be busy with schoolwork and with business and with whatever else they do up until the last minute on Erev Yom Tov, will come into Yom Tov with clothing that are not clean and they look sloppy. They didn't shave and they didn't take a haircut, and they'll rely on the fact that on Chol HaMoed they got 5 days, 4 or 5 days. To take care of their hair cutting and to take care of their washing of their clothing. So the Chachamim prohibited this b'miyuchod. You're not allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Unless it's a child before bar mitzvah, so then the Gemara says that there's no gzeirah d'rabban. Or unless the person was an oines d'muchach. Let's say a person was in the hospital. Or a person was in prison at Yotzim Beis Asur. A person was on a long boat trip and they have no barbers on the boat. It was Manatanaim, they had no barbershop on the boat. So he's going to land, he's going to arrive in civilization in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So everybody knows, it's an Oines D'muchach. All the people in the neighborhood are aware of his situation. They all know that he didn't have the opportunity to take the haircut before Yom Tov. So then whenever there's an Oines D'muchach, we permit him to take the haircut on Chol HaMoed. That's the issue with shaving on Chol HaMoed. So those who shave every day, so that's where Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, Rav Soloveitchik said, that everybody knows that one cannot shave the hair that didn't grow yet. So even though you shaved an Erev Yom Tov, it's an Oines D'muchach. Everybody is aware of the Oines, not a secret. So that's why Rav Moshe starts off his tshuva, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that it should be permissible to shave on Chol HaMoed, because that's an Oines D'muchach. So there's no Yisid D'Rabbanan on this. Then Rav Moshe backs out in the end. It's unclear. Why does he back out? That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Why does he back out? It is mutter. It says in the Mishnah. It says in the Gemara. Whenever there's an Oines D'muchach, it's mutter. But as Soloveitchik thought, whenever it's mutter to take care of Chol HaMoed, it's an obligation. Mishum kavod haregel. Not only mishum kavod Yom Tov, mishum kavod Chol HaMoed. So his practice was, Rav Soloveitchik's practice was, he used to shame Chol HaMoed. When people would ask him, he would say, "Are you going to listen to what I tell you?" So if they would promise that yes, then he would say, "You're obligated to take care." Okay, that was his opinion. Washing clothing is taka not right. People wash clothing on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says it's not permissible. One could argue the point and say maybe today it's different. We use washing machines. We don't wash by hand. There's room to negotiate over here, but it's generally assumed that it's not proper to wash clothing unless you have little babies. And the babies keep on dirtying their diapers. In the Friedinger generations, and there used to be such a thing as diapers. And the women used to wash the diapers. Now, there are no diapers to wash. You have Pampers and you just throw them out in the garbage. But if you have little children and they always soil their clothing, so then big dektanim, so everybody knows that that's an Oines D'muchach. That's what Tosfos says on the Gemara. So big dektanim, you're allowed to wash. But for adults, the more correct practice should be, we should wash everything before Chol HaMoed and not have to wash on Chol HaMoed. If a person runs out of clothing to wear Chol HaMoed, more correct is rather than wash it, you should go to the store and buy some more on Chol HaMoed. To do other malachas on Chol HaMoed is not really right. The Mishnah talks about writing, and other malachas not really right. Unless you have a davar ha'aved, the example, the holy Shulchan Aruch gives a holy example of a davar of a person heard a dvar Torah on Yom Tov of Chol HaMoed, he's afraid he's going to forget it, so that's called a davar ha'aved. That's something precious that he doesn't want to forget. If a person has work to do for college, he should do all the work before. He should do the work before Yom Tov, after Yom Tov. If he's really afraid he's not going to do well in the class, or that, or let's say a person has a job, and if he doesn't show up on Chol HaMoed, they'll fire him. He takes off on the first day Yom Tov, the last day Yom Tov, that the boss knows, that's printed in the Jewish calendar. Chol HaMoed, he never heard of this. If the fellow's going to take off Chol HaMoed, he's afraid that he may lose his job, may lose all of his customers if he keeps his store closed on Chol HaMoed. So that's sometimes considered a davar ha'aved. Davar ha'aved doesn't mean I'm going to lose money, I won't earn money. Davar ha'aved means I lose what I have already. I already have a whole set of customers, and I lose these customers, or I have a job and I lose the job. It's not so easy to declare a situation as davar ha'aved. It's kedai to study through the svarim on the topic of malachas Chol HaMoed to know what's permissible or what's not permissible. On the first night of Pesach, when we recite the Havdalah, so we don't say the normal nusach, Hamavda Mikodesh L'chol, we recite Hamavda Mikodesh L'kodesh. That Shabbos is Kodesh and Yom Tov is Kodesh, and we have to be Mavdol Mekodesh L'Kodesh. All of the Nuschos HaTfilah are based on the Rishayim Asum like this. This is the premise of the Sefer Avodrom. All the Nuschos HaTfilah are based on the Lashonis HaTanach, based on Sukkim in Chumash, and in Tanakh. So this expression appears in the middle of Chumash Shmos. Not only is there a requirement to be mavda mikodesh lachol, there's a requirement to be mavda mikodesh chomor mikodesh kal. We have a lot of mitzvahs. We have 613 mitzvahs. It's important to know. The Mishnah says, "Have observed a mitzvah kala kavachamur sheinat teyadeh matan sfarim shal mitzvah." You should be careful to observe all the mitzvahs. You shouldn't say, "Well, this mitzvah is not so important. I'm not going to bother to fulfill it." That's not right. But it is important to know that there is a hierarchy of mitzvahs, and it's important to know what the hierarchy is. If you have a choice, if you don't have the ability to fulfill all the mitzvahs, it's either A or B. So you have to know which of the two is more important than which. A lot of us are so gung-ho about living in Eretz Yisrael, so people will pack up from America and move to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll lose out on all of what happened to all the other mitzvahs. They'll move to some village in Eretz Yisrael where there's no learning and no shiurim. You can always get shiurim on the YU website, or there are many other websites. Millions of shiurim on the websites. But a lot of people move to Eretz Yisrael. They're so enthralled with the mitzvah of Aliyah, so they forget about everything else. What happened to Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha and Limud HaTorah? These are equally or more important than the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael is also Shkula Keneged Kolam Mitzvah Shkulam, but you have to keep everything into proper perspective. So that's important to keep in mind. Hamavda Mekodesh LeKodesh. The Gemara says that B'Chorva Yerushalayim Alash HaHishvu Bo Katan the Gadol. There are Talmid HaChachamim and there are greater Talmid HaChachamim. So you're not permitted to be mashve the greater Talmid HaChachamim to the lesser Talmid HaChachamim. You have to know how to distinguish between the Kodesh and the Kodesh. They're all holy people, but some are holier than others. All men are created equal, but some are more equal than others. Okay, a good yontif everybody.